respectfully request that you eliminate any 10-minute speaker is Melissa from San Diego.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Melissa. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Melissa.
Definitely an alcoholic. I like to say the older I get, the less I know, but this is one thing I am certain of, and I become more and more certain. My sobriety date is December 23, 2009, so today I'm celebrating 16 months. Hooray. Yeah. I have a sponsor. Her name is Elizabeth, and she has a sponsor. I don't know if I was born an alcoholic, but the day I got drunk, an alcoholic was born. I say that because I drank like an alcoholic from the very first time I drank, from the very first time I got drunk. I was about 13 years old, and I went to a wedding with a friend of mine, and we were outside, and she grabbed a bottle of champagne. It was probably 3/4 full, and we went outside, and we drank that, and I just loved it. I just remember I loved it. I was one of those uncomfortable kids. I never felt enough, not, you know, smart enough, not pretty enough, not popular enough, just not enough. But once I, you know, when I took that drink, when I got drunk, I just didn't care anymore. And, you know, as I got into high school, I found where I fit in. It was with the drunks and the loadies, and that was fine with me. So, you know, at the wedding, back to the wedding, so we drank that bottle of champagne, and my friend says, well, hey, let's go back into the wedding. I said, let's go get another bottle. And that's exactly what we did. I know that's exactly what I did. And I don't even know if she helped me drink the rest of that bottle, but it was red wine. So we put that red wine on top of champagne. And, you know, I mean, it. Of course, I got sick. I just remember being in this courtyard. I have these flashes of myself just kind of like falling and tripping and throwing up, and it was horrible, and I threw up all over her mom's brand new Mercedes on the way home, just red wine and champagne. It was horrible. And, you know, and I remember this, her, so they brought me home, and here's her mom trying to hold me up on my parents' doorstep, you know, and I'm just a mess. And I just remember, you know, she opened the door, and my parents looked at me and went, they laughed. They thought it was funny. I didn't get in any trouble. My mom nursed me back to health. You know, so that was my first experience. First of all, I loved it. Second of all, my parents didn't seem to mind too much. So, you know, that kind of characterized the way that I drank for the next 20 years. I drank, I got drunk, I threw up, I passed out. You know, and I didn't see anything wrong with it. And in the first few years, you know, some pretty bad things happened in the first few years. I mean, I got arrested for assault on a cop. That was a good one. You know, I put myself in situations to get myself physically harmed, get my personal property stolen or destroyed. And, you know, still, I didn't see any problem with it because, of course, the people I was hanging out with, well, they were worse than me. I mean, my best girlfriend at the time, she was the kind who could do beer bongs for an hour, go throw up, and come back for more beer bongs. So I thought, nothing wrong with me and the way I'm doing it. So, you know, that went on for quite a while. I managed to go to college, and I didn't have too many scrapes in college because I chose the right school. I went to Humboldt State University. You guys know the reputation of Humboldt State. So I used pot then to what I thought was control and enjoy my drinking. So then I didn't have to drink as much, but then I get stoned with the same effects, throw up, pass out. So I made it through college. I got down here to graduate school. And, you know, by this time I was pretty smart. You know, I graduated school, so graduated college. So, you know, I learned a few things. You know, I didn't want to drink and drive. I knew that much. So I stopped driving. Right? I didn't want, you know, so basically what that did was it made my, the area of where I hung out really small, like a mile radius, right? But fortunately, the bar that I liked the best was within about a mile, so I could still walk there which I did on a daily basis. But my friends who I had in grad school, you know, they got kind of tired of picking me up all the time and taking me out and not knowing when I was going to just hit that wall and go, okay, that's it. I need to go home. Can somebody take me home now? And, you know, they got tired of it. They got real tired of it. So stop hanging out with my friends. I can drink by myself. I don't need friends. You know, and then, you know, and I was going to that bar, and then, you know, it became that walk home. The walk there and the walk home just got longer and longer and longer because I was too far away from that bottle. Just getting to the bar and getting home from the bar was too far. So, you know, I stopped going out. But actually before that happened, that bar. So, you know, at that point, you know, I started to realize, like, I kind of started to think something was wrong. The first instance was when I graduated grad school, and then I had a real important test to take in order to get my license. And I took that test twice. And, I mean, this was a test I studied all day for. But then when I got home, I drank a pint of, you know, Bacardi Limon, and everything I learned that day was gone. So I took that test twice, and I realized, okay, something's got to give. So that was the first time that I tried to quit drinking, and, oh, my God, I couldn't sleep. I was irritable. I was a wreck. It was just a mess. I managed to pass the test, though, so you better believe that I celebrated with Mr. Bacardi, Mr. Cuervo, and Mr. Daniels, you know, at the end. I went right back. So this was still, I was still going to that bar at that time, but I was, you know, I was thinking in my head, I had this tape that was playing in my head, and it was saying, this is not a dress rehearsal. This is not a dress rehearsal. Like, I started to feel like I'm watching my life go by, and I'm not participating in it. And, you know, but I couldn't figure out what was wrong. You know, I had an inkling that I drank way too much, but, you know, I didn't know what to do about it. And, you know, there was that part of me that said, I can quit when I want to. I just don't want to. But then what happened was one of my drinking buddies from that bar, basically on his walk home from the bar one night, just keeled over in the alley. And I went to go visit him in the hospital. We kind of knew something was wrong with him, but we didn't know what it was, or I didn't know what it was. I'm naive or whatever. But I went to visit him in the hospital, and he was the color, I mean, of this woman's jacket. He was the color of a yellow Post-it note, from head to toe. And he was blown up like a giant water balloon. He had cirrhosis, yeah. And he's in the hospital, and he's on Librium, and he can't talk, and he's hooked up to, you know, IVs, and just the sight was so sad. And he laid there, and he said to us, look, you guys, I haven't had a drink in 3 days. And, you know, he died 3 days later. And, I just looked at that, and he was 43. He was 43 years old. He was a young man. And, you know, I looked at that, and it just kind of, something clicked. And that was when I said, okay, that I'm not going out like that. And I started trying to moderate my drinking. Well, 2 days on, 3 days off. 2 days on, you know, maybe that'll work. Of course it didn't work, you know. And I tried some abstinence for 30, 40 days, and that would work. But, you know, I learned something during that time, and that was, you know, when I didn't drink, I mean, there was this gravitational pull to the liquor store. I mean, it was like a tractor beam. Trying to get home from work, and I didn't want to stop. I didn't want to stop, but there I was pulling into the liquor store and buying my booze. And the other thing I learned was that even if I would go for 40 days, the next time that I took a drink, it was on for the next 3 months, or however long it was until I got the nerve to try and stop drinking again. And during that time, I did that for 2.5 years. And then during that time, I lost a colleague of mine at work to drugs and alcohol. He was younger than me. He was 33. And I lost my hairdresser, who I loved very much, to opiates. And, you know, I just kind of was at my wit's end, and I didn't really know what to do. And it was funny because I just reconnected with that girl I was telling you about, the beer bong girl. I reconnected with her on Facebook, and we talked on the phone. And she told me that she had almost 2 years clean. Well, because that's the thing. She went into opiates. I stayed with the alcohol and pot. She went the opiate route. So, you know, nobody thought she was coming back. And here she was on the phone with me, sounding happy and healthy, and she said she was clean. and sober, and she hadn't had a drink or a drug in almost 2 years. And I said, my God, how did you do that? And she said, AA. And she likes AA better than NA. So she said, AA. She said, you know, maybe you ought to give it a shot. I said, oh, I don't even know how long I've been talking for. 2 more minutes? Oh, I better get sober. So, anyway, she gave me hope, and I cried. And so the next thing I did was I had a friend of mine take me to an AA meeting, and I walked in, and I saw you people in Coronado, and you guys looked happy and healthy, and you guys had something I wanted. I didn't know what it was, but you weren't drinking, and you were happy. And I said, all right, maybe. I said, still wasn't sure about the whole God thing. You know, I didn't have a God. I didn't want a God. That was not, you know, what I came here for. But, you know, I drank for a little bit, a couple days after that, and then I started going to meetings. And I did what you guys told me to do. I did 90 and 90. I got myself a sponsor. I read the big book. I got some commitments, making coffee. You know, that was my main commitment, coffee. Now I've done secretary and stuff. But, you know, I can't tell you, these last 16 months have been the best 16 months of my life. I mean, better than anything I ever experienced as a kid, as a young adult, teenager, I mean, anything. I have, you know, the relationships that I have now are healthy relationships. They're solid relationships with my family, with my friends. I have people around me who care about me. I care about other people, and I feel free. I'm free to drive. I'm not afraid of cops anymore. You know, to anyone who's new, give it a shot, even if it's only 90 days. See if your life doesn't change in 90 days, because I'll bet you it will. Thank you. Wow.